Have you ever been in agony? I mean, real agony. I suppose every mother here knows what agony is all about. I mean, imagine giving birth, fellas. Come on. Come on. I've been at the birth of all my four children. Boy, I felt like fainting. Never mind Dot. But you know, when desire overcomes that agony, it's amazing, isn't it, to behold? Don't you think? I mean, listen to these two stories. Hayan Nettich is an elite Kenyan runner. Now think about this. Anybody who's ever done a marathon, you know how difficult it is. You hit the wall and everything seems to seize up. She could run a marathon in 2 hours and 34 minutes. Isn't that unbelievable? And yet, the Daily Mail recorded that on the 15th of February in 2015, with just 50 meters to go, she collapsed. She was in the lead in this race. People tried to help her get up, but she wouldn't take any help. In fact, she crawled across the finish line and finished second. She said, "I was in absolute agony, but my desire to finish was greater than my pain." Excuse me if you're a young person, if I indulge you for a minute, because some people here with silver hair will remember this famous footballer who played over 300 times for Liverpool. His name was Gerry Byrne. He played left back for Liverpool. And Bill Shankly called him the toughest player he'd ever met. Some of you may have heard of Tommy Smith. Sometimes in the 60s, they'd say from the bench, "Smithy, put him through the boards." And he'd make this tackle and the crowd would roar. But one day in training, Tommy Smith tried to nutmeg Gerry Byrne. And he shouldn't have done that. He walloped him, good style. Shanks walks up to him and says, "Son, the first rule of Melwood, never nutmeg Gerry Byrne." He played in the 1965 Cup Final. Now listen, listen. Talk about tough as nails. The girls here will tell you, every time they watch a football match and they see someone just do a little flick and the footballers go rolling over and over and over and over and they make you sick. This fella, after 7 minutes into the game, broke his collarbone. And he spent the next 2 hours playing football for 2 hours at Wembley Stadium with 100,000 people roaring him on and managed to do a cross whereby a Liverpool player scored a goal. Bill Shankly said, "Gerry Byrne deserves 11 FA Cup winners' medals because he was as tough as nails. During that game, he was in absolute agony. But his desire overcame that agony." Today in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, we see Paul's desire for the church. Number 1, be encouraged. Number 2, be enriched. Number 3, be established. And actually, we find the words, "For I want you to know how great a struggle." And in the Greek, that is the word agon, from which we get the word agony. I want you to know the great agony I'm going through. And yet my desire for the church overcomes this agony. Remember, Paul is under house arrest in Rome. Remember last week, he talks about his suffering for our Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, Paul, who last week called himself a diakonos, a servant, a minister of the church, loved the church. He loved the church and struggled and strived and was often in anguish and agony. Because you remember that the church of Colossae had been invaded by Christ plus false gospel peddlers. They were coming into the church with intellectualism, with ritualism, with legalism, with asceticism, with mysticism. Today we call it syncretism or pluralism. And they were making the Christians there in Colossae feel inferior. We've got greater knowledge. We've got greater wisdom. We've got higher experience. We're in the Premier League. You're just somewhere down in the amateur league somewhere. No, says Paul. Christ is preeminent, and we are complete in him. They were saying that Jesus is prominent. Paul was saying he's preeminent. They were saying Jesus is important. But Paul was saying he's all important. They were saying Jesus is comparative. Paul was saying Jesus is superlative. They were saying Jesus is sufficient. But Paul was saying Jesus is all sufficient. And we are complete in him. Now he writes, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face." He'd never even seen those in Colossae. Not only so, but there were other towns, Hierapolis and Laodicea, nearby. And the gospel had come to them too. I want you to know how much agony and how much I struggle for you and for those at Laodicea who've not seen me face to face. But here's my desire. My desire for the church there in Colossae. My desire for the church here in Liverpool. Number one, be encouraged. Be encouraged in heart, in unity, and in love. Let's read that again, shall we? "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged," being knit together in love. Be encouraged in heart, in unity, in love. You know what the Bible says? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And in the New Testament, the heart and the mind are very closely linked. Actually, the emotions in the Bible are sometimes recorded as the bowels. But the mind and the heart combined. I want you to be encouraged in mind and in heart. And I want you to be knit together. One of the most embarrassing times of my life, many embarrassing times in my life, is I worked for some time in a factory, and my auntie worked in the same place. And that was in the bookbinders where she worked. I was a printer, compositor. And I used to have to walk down the factory floor, which was full of women. Can you imagine this? How embarrassing is that? And my auntie would stop me and say, "Here are Billy, come here." And I used to hate the term Billy. "Oh, boy. Come here. I've just got this knitting pattern. I'm going to knit you an Aran sweater. Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one." And she'd stand me in front of all these women and measure me up. Then she'd get a roll of wool out. Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. And amazingly, at the end, she'd made me an Aran sweater. It was worth all the embarrassment. But those little knits and purls were tight, united. Oh, I want you to be encouraged in heart and mind. I want you to be knit together. I want you to be united. You see, the Apostle Paul knew that these false gospel peddlers were sowing seeds which would divide the church. Those who were the elite and those who weren't. Those who have it and those who don't. Those who've got wisdom and knowledge and experience and those of us who would just plod on. He knows that a divided church, remember this, a divided church is a defeated church. Let us all take note of that. No, I want you to be knit together of one mind, of one heart, of one will, of one purpose. United in the things that we believe united in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to be knit together in love. It was Jesus who said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He doesn't say, "This is how you'll know that you're my disciples, if you're a walking Bible encyclopedia, if you know Calvin's Institutes inside out and back to front, if you know all the creeds that have ever been written, if you have all the gifts, or if you're a famous preacher." No, 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 no. "This is how all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. By this all men shall know that you're my disciples." Beware of the man, beware of the woman who goes around seeking to put brother against brother, sister against sister. You know that story which I've told you before, a true story? There in Canada, one elder sat there, another elder sat there. They were both farmers. And they had a farm next to each other. One elder said, "My fence is going there." The other elder said, "No, it's not, it's going there." And they argued so much that they took the case to court. The judge was so sickened by this. He said, you will build your line there. And you will build your line there." Do you know what they call the middle? The devil's lane. Don't you do the devil's work for him. Ever. And don't you divide this local church, whereby we believe that all causes and all causes of division will be worked on and opposed, so that we dwell together in one heart and mind and in unity and in love. Be encouraged. That's Paul's desire. Number two, be enriched in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Shall we follow this together? Verses 2 and 3. "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You see, Paul knew that their oneness in love would be dependent on their fullness in Christ. I'll say that again. He knew that their oneness in love would be dependent upon their fullness in Christ. You see, these false gospel peddlers were saying, "Well, you need special wisdom. You need special knowledge. You need special experience." We shall find out next week as he attacks intellectualism and mysticism and ritualism and legalism and asceticism. The haves and the have-nots. No, I want you to be enriched. I want you to know that richness that is found, that treasure that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, being knit together to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. We know from last week that the mystery is Christ. Do you remember what Paul wrote when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16? "God was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory." That in Christ are all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. What's more, they were saying, "You need wisdom and you need knowledge." Paul is saying, "No, you need Christ. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. All the wisdom of God is in Christ. All the knowledge of God is in Christ. Paul wrote that to the Corinthians. He made it plain when he said, in Christ is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see, on his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is all we need. And you can find treasure, riches, understanding, assurance, wisdom, knowledge in him. I don't know if you like art. I've sometimes gone down to town and you go into the art galleries in town and you think, But you know, there are some people who spend their whole lives and millions of pounds worth of money collecting valuable art treasures. One such man was William Randolph Hearst. He was a multimillionaire and he loved to collect all the special art treasures. Van Gogh, you've heard of him. Rembrandt, you've heard of him. Matisse, you've heard of him. Picasso, he would collect them all. He would send his agents all around the world looking for special and rare works of art. One day, he decided he really wanted a very special work of art. He gathered all his agents and said, listen, I don't care where you go. I don't care how much you spend. I want you to find this very precious work of art and bring it to me. So they went all over the world looking for a special piece of art. Millions of pounds later, thousands of hours later, they come back. We haven't found it. Then the caretaker of his warehouse found the actual piece of art that he was looking for there in his warehouse. He'd had that piece of art all the time. You know, you and I, we go searching after this and searching after the other. No, in Christ and in Christ alone are all the treasures, are all the riches that you and I need for this life and for the next. Be enriched in Christ. Number three, be established, firm in faith, close in walk, deep in root, and glad in thanks, or full of thanks. Shall we read it together? I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. No, you have everything you need in Christ. Don't let somebody come and persuade you differently with high-sounding, highfalutin words. More about that next week. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Be established, firm in faith. The picture is of the 300 Spartans. Do you ever see that film, The 300 Spartans? There's only 300 of them. They have shields. They gather together. They have a shield surrounding them that way, and a shield surrounding them that way, and a shield behind them, and shields beside them, and shields above them. And they stand firm, no matter what. You be established, says Paul. No matter what the false gospel peddlers throw at you, no matter what high-sounding philosophy comes your way, you remain firm in the faith. Actually, that's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, didn't he? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be firm in faith. And be close in walk. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. So walk close to him, in him, abide in him, as he abides in you by his Spirit, clean and close. Do you remember the old song that we used to sing? Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea, daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. If you're a Christian here, the desire of your heart should be that you walk every day in a clean and close relationship, saying, Lord, let me love you supremely. Lord, let me trust you completely. Lord, please, let me obey you implicitly. Lord, please help me praise you wholeheartedly. Help me serve you gladly. Help me walk with you closely. Help me, Lord, I pray, to glorify you purposefully in a clean and close walk. Having received you, let me walk with you day by day. Be established, firm in faith, close in walk, deep in root. For it says here, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, rooted and built up in him. Here's this wonderful picture. There's some people here who've been to the Rocky Mountains. Put up your hand if you've been there. God willing, one day I'll try and take my wife who's longing to go there. But I am told that in the Rocky Mountains, there are the huge, enormous redwoods. That you're looking up and up and up and up and up at these enormous trees. And yet the fact that they're built up so high is due to the fact that they are rooted so deep. I want you to be rooted in your faith. So when any wind of false doctrine comes your way, when any attempt to lull you away from the cause of Christ and his person and work, you'll be rooted deep, strong, growing tall, bearing fruit, being established, firm in faith, close in walk, deep in root, and full of thanks. For here's what he says. Abounding in thanksgiving. Full of thankfulness. The hymn writer said, my heart is full of thankfulness. I love that old story of the man who was a bit grumpy and he decided he wanted to learn to be thankful. He said, I'm going to do anything and everything I can to be thankful. And his wife would listen to him. And he'd say, thank you for that pot. And thank you for that pan. And thank you for that light bulb. And one day he came in and he took off his coat and he hung up his coat on a hook. And he said, thank you for that hook. Oh, you're going crazy, said his wife. Saying thank you for a hook upon which to hang your coat? Oh, no, he said. I've decided I'm going to look for hooks upon which I can hang my gratitude. Do you remember that old hymn? Thank you for every new good morning. Thank you for every fresh new day. Thank you for every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's Paul's desire for the church. To be encouraged in heart, in unity, in love. To be enriched in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, to be established firm in the faith, close in walk, deep in root, full of thanks. I like the way Getty and Townend say this, because this is how it'll all happen, by the Holy Spirit's work. So, Spirit, come. Put strength in every stride. Give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. Paul says to the church of Colossae, O church, arise. Be encouraged. Be enriched. Be established. And he says that to you. And he says it to me. Let's stand and sing.